religion has got worship messed up.
Yes, it has.
Worship is not just running and hooping and hollering. Nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, we all enjoy doing that.
Yes.
Maybe in different manners, but we enjoy enjoying ourselves. But worship is far more than that. The greatest act of worship in a local church, the greatest, is the Lord's Supper. The next greatest is missions, being involved in missions. He tells us in Romans, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That closing frame, your reasonable service, is your spiritual worship. Yeah. We do that by presenting our body as a living sacrifice, not as a Baptist one, they're dead, as a living sacrifice. You see, Christ is not asking you to die for him. He's asking you to live for him.
Yep.
He died for you.
That's right.
Oh, you may have to give up your life one day because you believe in Christ, but that's not what he's asking you. He's asking you to live for him. I've never seen anybody go to the cemetery and shout because a Christian was laying there. But I have seen people rejoice because of the life of a believer.
Yes, sir.
That manifested Christ to them. My duty this morning is to explain to you and to share with you Faith Promise Missions. I preached two nights on missions. Tonight I'm going to talk about how we get this thing done for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. It'll be somewhat different than a message because it is instructions. And we really don't care much about the instructions, do we? I don't want nobody telling me what to do, do you? But I got saved one day and discovered that since I got saved, there was somebody telling me what to do. And I fell in love with the fact that Christ commands us.
Right.
He leads us and instructs us. I'm not going to read a passage of Scripture for a particular purpose because I'm going to feel what I'm saying with the Word of God. Actually, if I was going to read, I'd read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9. But for time's sake, I'm going to discuss those principles that are laid out there for us in the Word of God. So if you want to find the basis for what I'm saying, go home and study those two chapters. And you'll see what Faith Promise Missions is all about. Would you bow with me for a moment of prayer? Father, we desire your leadership and your guidance. I pray that there would be an anointing to teach the Word of God in a manner in which the breath of God would be sensed in this place. And there would be open ears and open hearts and submissive wills to what thus saith the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a mission book.
That's right.
This is a missionary book. We call it the Word of God.
Yes.
You see, Bible teaching and Bible preaching creates missionary going and missionary giving.
You're right.
So if we're going to preach the Word of God and we're going to live by the Word of God, the Word of God is going to cause us not only to go, but to give. And he said this message that you and I are to go around and to preach is to all nations. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. So he's covering every nation. You see, every believer, every Christian believes in the fundamental fact that the crucifixion and the resurrection is essential for your salvation.
That's right.
There's no way you could get saved without a crucifixion and without a resurrection.
Right.
It is a fundamental fact for our salvation. This risen Lord that got up after that he was crucified, he meets a couple of guys on the road to to Damascus in Luke chapter 24. Not to Damascus. Emmaus. And on the road to Emmaus, he's talking to these two disciples that are leaving Jerusalem. And here's the basis of what we're going to say. Jesus said, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer," that's Calvary, "and to rise from the dead the third day," that's resurrection, "and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things." Would you notice that Jesus talking about what is fundamental for your salvation, the crucifixion and the resurrection, that he didn't stop there? Notice the term "and that." When you read the word "that," you know it is there for purpose. And he said the crucifixion and the resurrection is there for the purpose that repentance and remission of sin should be preached to all nations. You see, he is telling you and me in these verses of Scripture, I am charging you. Since I died and I got up from the dead, I'm charging you with the mission of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every. It's necessary that you and I join Christ. He paid the supreme price. He died that every man, woman, boy, and girl could enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he said, I want you to take it to him. I'm putting the responsibility upon you. That's the reason he said, go ye and teach all nations. You see, we cannot deny this unless we deny the Scriptures itself as it is speaking to your heart and my heart. But the question arises in your mind and you're going to say, but preacher, how can we accomplish this? How can we get this job done? And so the Bible opens up and teaches us the manner in which God finances his church. You know as well as I do that the principle of tithing is in the Scriptures.
Yes, sir.
We hear everybody arguing against it because they don't like it. They'll say that's Old Testament doctrine. If you're going to take Old Testament tithing out of the New Testament, then take Jesus out because he was promised it in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. If you can't take him out, you can't take tithing out. You see, that's not taught. No, but a lot more than tithing is taught in the New Testament. He said for you to give as you had been prospered. That's far more than 10%, isn't it? You see, that's the manner in which he supplies for the funds of the local church where that the pastor can be paid. He must eat also. He said, if you're going to preach the gospel, you must eat of the gospel. So he's got to be paid. He's your first missionary. You must take care of him first. You see, you can't jump over the first step and run to the second one. You got to start with the first step. Then there is the matter of offerings, love gifts. That's gifts that you give above your tithes to help in the areas that God lays on your heart, such as a member of the church is in great need and they take up a special offering to meet that need. You give an offering. Maybe there's a job to be done, such as we need a new porch on the front of the church. So they take up an offering, and you give an offering that's above your tithe. Then comes this matter of faith promise giving. And of course, faith promise giving is a free will offering that's given weekly or as the Lord lays on your heart monthly. The Bible teaches it weekly on the first day of the week, that's Sunday. Let him lay by in store as the Lord has prospered him. You see, we have a tendency to rebel against what we think might hurt us. Could I tell you there's a lot in this Bible I don't like? Could I tell you, when he says for me to love them that despitefully use me, I don't like that? He said, I want you to pray for them. Are you listening? The Savior did that. Man, they hung him on a cross and he said, God forgive them. They know not what they do. But I don't enjoy forgiving people that do me dirty. What are you saying? I'm saying I do it because he said do it. You say, I don't like what you're talking about this morning. He said do it. It's not a matter of where you like it or not. It's where a matter of where you love him or not.
That's it. Right on target. Amen.
You see, God didn't like ask us to like everything he asked us to do. He just said, I want you to love me. And then you'll do it because you like me. Love me. Isn't that awesome? You see, we've been taught in this crazy religious world that we live in, it's going to be a hoop and a holler and a shout and a skip across the mountaintop. Honey, I'll tell you, there's some valleys to walk through.
You're exactly right,
David. Let me say something about this missions. We're talking about faith bombs, missions. Could I tell you that missions involves training missionaries? Missions involves equipping missionaries. Missions involves sending, supporting missionaries so that they can get to the field and preach this gospel that we really believe will cause sinners to get saved and miss hell and enjoy heaven with us. You see, it takes money to do these things. That's part of my job as a mission director, is training missionaries how to do deputation, how to act when you get in the church and where the authority is at. You say, I've been in the ministry, I've been saved longer than your pastor, I've been preaching longer than he's been preaching. But I have no authority in this church. I'm under his authority. He's the man God put here. You say, you could do it better. Tell God. It was God put him here, not me and not you. We say, so-and-so could preach better than others. That got nothing to do with it. It's who God put there. Yeah. The only authority I got is to say, yes, sir. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is this. You and I as a missionary, believing local assembly, a church, is to send forth people to share the message that you are sharing right here. The message is not different that's being carried. It's the same message that's preached from this pulpit. And it's carried to all the world. Now, faith promise missions, I want to say it again so you'll misunderstand. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, and of course you can get some good out of chapter 10. It's talking about the principles of this thing. And this thing called faith promise missions is not a pledge to this church. It is a promise to your God. That's the reason why on this slip of paper there's no place for you to sign it. When the pastor, whoever it is, gets one of these and he looks at it and it says, I promise to give $40 a week to missions, he has no idea who it is. Because you're not promising him or this church, you're talking to him. You say, I'm not signing nothing when it comes to giving money. You know you ain't telling the truth. You signed for your house. You signed for your car. You signed for your credit card. Don't come lying to God. You see, what I'm saying to you is, look at it as way the scripture's putting it in. It's a pledge. He said that you give on the first day of the week as you have decided in your heart. And you decide that by spending time before God in prayer. So that you'll know what it is that he wants you. You see, it's a predetermined, this faith promise is a predetermined amount of money. He says it clearly to you that we are to set aside our tithe, set aside our offering, set aside faith promise missions. And we're to do it as members of the church to reach people that are going to die and go to hell. Now, I'm going to pinpoint faith promise missions. First of all, it's an act of faith. Faith promise mission, it's its name. Faith promise missions is an act of faith. Now, you say, but preacher, what is this first act of faith that I'm to do? You see, it is giving faith promise missions on a weekly basis exclusively for the purpose of getting the gospel out. And the most important part of that is asking God what he wants you to give. This is not what you decide to do. This is what he decides to do through you. You see, it's an act of faith because you've got to trust God for his answer. Notice I said for his answer. It'll require you to trust him to tell you what he wants you to give. It's not me being emotionally stirred up to make an emotional decision, which later on you are not going to keep. It's a matter of trusting God to tell you what he wants you to do. That's the first step of faith. That's the reason I said on last evening, before you fill this out, you pray. You should never fill out a card, slip of paper, until you've talked to God about it. And then you do what it is that God tells you to do. That's the first act of faith. The second act of faith is faith promise makes. The second act of faith is trusting God to meet your need. It's not trusting God to meet your faith promise. You see, if God told you what to give, he knows it's always going to be there. I've been supporting Faith Promise Missions for nearly 50 years, and I have never one time asked God to supply my faith promise. Why? Because he told me what to give. What you do is, when you get it from him, you put it like your tithes in the budget and your offerings in the budget, and then you put faith promise in the budget. That's first. Now you're going to live off of the rest of it. You say, well, what if there's not enough left? That's where faith comes in. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek you first the kingdom of God, tithes, Oh, friends, faith promise. And all these other things will be added unto you. Not subtracted, but added. It's plus. He's adding it on to. What? The necessities of life. Shoes. Shirts. Houses. Cars. He said, I'll add all. But you got to trust him. You see, faith promises not you trusting him for the promise. Faith promises you trusting him for your need. Where you live by faith. Now, I've heard it, and you may have heard it here. I hope not, but you may have. Because it's a popular thing. And we'll hear preachers get up in faith promise meeting and say, here's what I challenge you to do. Give up one Coke a day. Hogwash. That's a sickening term, isn't it? But what I'm saying to you, God ain't asking you to give up a Coca-Cola. God is asking you to give up yourself. Let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, you put God first in everything. And God said, I'll see to it that there will be no lacking of the necessities in your life.
That's it.
You said, preacher, do you believe that? With all my heart.
Yes, sir.
I live believing God to supply my need. Are you listening? And never has he ever let me down. Let me give you an illustration. My first church I pastored, they fired me. They run me off. I've been there 2.5 years. I went into church one Wednesday night. As the pastor, I went out not being the pastor. I went home and I said, what'll I do? I got a baby to feed. The next morning, a man knocked on the door of my house. And he said, are you Dennis Petty? And I said, I am. He said, I don't understand this, but God told me to come over here and give you $40. I wasn't going to get a check next Sunday. Are you listening to me? I've had that happen over and over and over. Over. Now, God may not do it that way for you, but I'll tell you how he will. But he did that the way in my life. I had stood up for Christ in this blessed book, and they didn't like it. They would rather have a deacon who was selling liquor that I caught him selling than to have me. They said, we'd rather have him than to have you. I wasn't going to cower down. God had made me a promise in this book.
You're right.
I stepped out by faith, left my job at the post office, took that church full time, and God saw to it that my needs were met according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm saying to you, the first act of faith is asking him and then you doing what he says. Nothing else. I made a statement last night how that God told me not to let nobody in my church give more money to Faith Promise Missions than I give. But don't you do that unless God tells you to. It won't work. You got to get it from him. And then he'll supply our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let me illustrate it with an Old Testament illustration. This is the New Testament truth, but let's go back and pick up the Old Testament. Let me get you to see Elijah. Elijah's coming on the scene, and he meets the widow at Zarephath. And she's doing something out there, and he said, what are you doing? I'm paraphrasing. She said, I'm gathering sticks. Said, I got enough meal to make a cake of bread. Me and my baby's going to eat it and die. And the man of God said, fix me a cake first. The widow who had to feed her baby obeyed the man of God, fixed a cake of bread, fed the preacher. God did not fill up her meal barrel. No. He just wouldn't let her empty it. Every time she got out enough for the next meal, when she went back, there was enough in there again for the next meal. You see, God's not going to overwhelm you with a barrel full of meal. He's going to let you walk by faith every day of your life. You see it? I don't have to see about tomorrow. He said, you got enough to deal with today. Amen? So what God does is he honors his word and he supplies our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, and he's richer than you can ever spend. Oh, yes, I'm talking about his promise. The third act of faith and faith promise is recognizing first how God does it and when God does it. You say, how in the world will God supply my need if I put tithes, love offerings, missions first? How in the world will God do it? He may do it by you not having so many doctor bills. He may do it by giving you a raise at work. He may do it, are you listening to me? But God's supplying in other manners. Like, you don't have so many repairs to do at the house. You don't have to call the plumber. You don't have to call the electrician. I'm talking about the way God does things. I don't know which one he'll use. I don't know if he'll use any of them. I'm just illustrating how it is that God takes care of us and supplies our need. If you make $40 a week and it takes 30 for you to live, and you give your tithes and your offerings and your missions, and you ain't got but 25 left, God will supply the need in manners in which you will never believe.
Exactly right.
So that what cost you 30 won't cost you 30. I left my church. The wife and I, she was a secretary, part-time secretary, and myself. And every week they wrote me a check for $965. Are you listening? The next week I left, I never raised a penny of support or nothing, and went into full-time missions. That month in my hand I received $200. But out of that $200, God paid every bill I had. Nothing went undone. At the end of the month, when they sent me my statement from the home office, over $6,000 had come in. Now that hadn't happened since then because I had never needed it since then. I only needed it at that first step to keep my eyes upon him and to take care of my need according to his riches. And glory by, not one church supported me. Now I said, that ain't never happened again. I wish it did, but it don't. But I've never had a need. Never that God didn't supply. You say, I don't believe it. That's the reason it ain't doing it. You got to believe. This is called faith promise missions. You got to trust what God tells us. He said, you say, preacher, don't that surprise you? No. Why? Listen to the word of God. He said, there is that scattereth, that is disperses, yet increases, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat. That word means that what is right. But it tendeth to poverty. The liberal, that is the bountiful soul shall be made fat. That means abundant or full. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. If God said it, why don't we believe it? You see, a lot of the reason why you're suffering to pay your bills is because you're hoarding what God wants you to give. And he said, if you would scatter, that's the word broadcast, you know, like a radio broadcast, you're sending out a message, you're scattering the word of God. He said, yet you increase. You increase. Why should you give? First of all, it's scriptural. It's biblical. It's in the Bible. Second of all, because it's successful. It does get the gospel to the unknown regions of the world. You say, but preacher, it'll take away from the church's money. No, it'll add to it. Any church that gives in faith, promising they're faithful, the church is faithful in giving, I guarantee you the offerings will increase for the church, as well as in faith promises. I can tell you of churches that it has happened, individuals where it has happened in their lives because they were faithful to do what it was that God asked him to do. You say, this sounds crazy. Jesus said it would. The natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. You say, preacher, what you're saying is foolish. God said you'd say that. He knew a long time ago how you was going to think and act. But God said, I will do it. You see, the third reason is it's systematic. It's a weekly thing. Now, some of you don't get paid but once a month. Well, it's a monthly thing. You see, you figure it on a weekly basis. And if you give $20 a week, you give $80 a month. I'm saying to you, it's systematic. You see, this Bible said God does everything in decency and in order. That's the reason why when you come to the house of God, the pastor keeps the service in order. He don't let a bunch of foolishness take place. And I wasn't jumping up just saying anything. He'd set them down. Or him and the deacons would show them the door. Because God does everything in decency and in order. You see, this is systematic. You don't have to worry, well, what am I going to do next week? You know what you're going to do next week. Because that's exactly what God has told you to do. Now, you're going to say, questions? I got to hurry. Preacher, why should I give a faith promise missions in obedience to the command of Christ? To show in obedience your love for Christ. It's not your love for those sinners. It's the love for your Savior. Loving sinners won't cause you to go, but loving the Savior will. How can I do this? Because it's the example that Christ has given us. This book says this, they were willing of themselves. You're not doing it out of your will. You're doing it because you want to. Because you will to do it. Let him on the first day of the week, according as he has purposed in his heart. This is not what the pastor's deciding for you. This is what you're purposing in your heart to do so that sinners can be saved. I'm totally convinced when I get to heaven, I'm going to meet people that's been saved because of giving to Faith Promise Missions for 50 years. That'll be there. Can I tell you, it'll get you excited down here, but you wait till you get there. And there's no boundaries to it, and you're totally expressing the joy of your soul. I tell you, it's going to be something. Don't be running and jumping and hollering. If you study the Word of God from the opening to the close, every time a man got close to God, he fell on his face in silence. That don't mean you can't enjoy the blessings of God, but when it gets real, 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 You lay in silence before the holiness and deity of Almighty God. You must participate in the programs of this book. I'm going to say this and I'm through. I ain't actually through. I'm just going to quit. I got a lot more to say. The well hadn't gone dry, but I want to say this to you. And you listen closely and I'll quit. Has God ever rebuked you for giving? You know why? It's not a sin to give. If it's not a sin to give, then why don't you get active in it? You say, why should I give, preacher? Because he said give.
Right.
Listen, Luke 6, 38. Give. That's a command. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, running over, shall men give into your bosom. You can't beat that. How do you know? He knocked on my door and said, God said me to give you $40. If we're obeying this, I promise you in the fear of God, God will take care of you. And listen, and you'll be so excited about it. I'm not against ball. No. I'm not. I like football. I like baseball. My name's Petty and I like stock car racing. But you've never been as excited about those things as you will when God blesses you for being obedient to the Word of God. Amen. Now then, if you're here and you're lost, we want you to get saved. Our purpose in missions is to get sinners saved. We want you to be saved. And you're not out of order getting saved. We'll stay here till the cows come home if you'll come and get saved. If you're a child of God and you need to come and move up a little closer, these altars are open. We want you to do that. But we're here to settle this issue of faith promised missions in this particular service. And I hope that you'll get involved for your sake. Paul said, I'm not asking for a gift for my sake. I'm asking that it may abound to your account. He said, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and thieves break through and steal. Yeah. So why don't you lay up, send something on ahead of time. Amen. It'd be well worth it and you'll get a crown for it. And when you get the crown, you'll get to lay it at his feet. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Amen.
That'd be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Every head bowed and every eye closed. The musician's going to come. We're going to have her play one verse of a hymn. If someone comes, we'll let them extend the service and the pastor as he feels fit at the close of this one verse. So I trust that you'll be obedient. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. John 2 and verse 5. Would you do that, Father? In Christ's name, just now, we pray that you'd help us to be obedient to thus saith the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word to us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to come, come on. I don't care what the need is. He can meet it. He not only can, he wants to. Will you come and say, not only can he, but he will? That's the faith part. He will do what he can do. Amen. Amen. Pastor.